Well, I just want to welcome everybody, and again, thank you to Debbie Terry in Texas for being on. Thank you, Jessica Young, for being on with our CPCF team, Leah Carowin, President and Executive Director of the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation, Pam Olson in Florida as well. Thank you, Shirley Forbes, our Senior Director of Advancement, for being on. We have Angie Swigert, our Executive Administrator. We have Brittany Catillus, also administrator. We have Pastor Jackson in Missouri on with us, Marlene Tidwell in Tennessee, Beth Folsom in Colorado, Deborah Pratt in Illinois. Thank you all for being on. We appreciate you jumping on with somewhat of a shorter notice to the call, but we feel like this is going to be really exciting and important call. So we do appreciate you taking the time. So we'll go ahead and open in prayer today. And Pastor Jackson, would you please do the honor? Do us the honor.
Yes. Father, we thank you and give praise and to you, and to your goodness and mercy, and we do want to acknowledge your presence, Lord, and how you are guiding and directing us, instructing us. Thank you, Father, for the wisdom, Father, that you have released, wisdom that you have given us. We thank you, Father, that you direct. We ask you that you would direct our conversations today. Father, may it be for your glory. May you be pleased with what you hear. But, Father, we also pray that each one of us would be instructed so that we would know how to proceed from this point forward. So we are rejoicing in you. We're praising you, honoring you, giving you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. And Pastor Bob and Maine, welcome. We thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And Dave Wilson in South Carolina, thank you for being on. Excellent.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm actually going to turn it right over to Leah so that we can begin the meeting, and we'll look forward to hearing from everybody in just a bit.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Summer. And again, I echo her gratitude for every single one of you being on the call. I know we had to make a quick shift, but I think it's worth it and important. I hope that you find that it's a valuable use of your time. There's some exciting things I want to talk to you about. I just got back from North Dakota. I want to tell everybody just a big thank you to the folks in North Dakota. You made it so easy for me to go to North Dakota. When I first started doing this, I would talk to these legislators about what we were building, and I would cast the vision. I would talk about what we could do together. In North Dakota, I had so much fun telling them all the things we have done together, and every single one of you, I think I might have used every one of you as an example of the kinds of things the legislators could do, and to cast the vision for them about what it could look like and the impact that they have had. And every one of you was a story and an example and an anecdote that just got them so excited. So we're excited to have North Dakota. They're coming on board as a state legislative prayer caucus. And they couldn't be more excited about being a part of it. So thank each one of you for giving me an opportunity to make it the easiest sell in the world for them to make their decisions. So, and that's what I'm finding is the case across the nation. As I talk to people now, they want to be a part of what we're all doing. I wanted to also say that we had a sweeping win of our chairman across the board, across this nation. I think we lost one chairman. I think it was an incoming chairman. I'm not even sure if they had been a chairman yet up in Maine, but they were planning on being in Maine. We're sending congratulations emails out to all of our chairmen, congratulating them for their great win. And so just want you to know we're trying to stay in touch with them and just let them know how grateful we are that they still are. We have had some people lose their chairmanship in primaries and things. We're so sad, for instance, in Florida, Mike Hill. But here's the exciting news that you can talk to your chairman about who do lose their positions. Almost all of them still contact us and say, when we contact them, of course, and say, thank you for your service. We are so grateful, and please stay engaged with us, and here's how you can do it. We have ways in which they can continue to stay engaged with us at a very important level as a legislative action team. And in fact, those that have retired, like Ken Kurtz in Michigan, he's as active and as important to our movement now as he rotated off, term limited, out, as he ever was as a member of the Prayer Caucus chairman. So they're not done as far as we're concerned when they roll off. They've just gone into a new phase and a new assignment with us. So if they have any desire at all, just remind them we need them right now. And so that kind of leads me in. I'm actually going to jump in full, you know, with both feet and tell you what has transpired in the last week of conversations and travel. This election was, I think we're all sort of in shock and awe. On our side of it, we're in shock and awe going, oh, my goodness, thank you, Jesus, we have a window of time. We have an opportunity. You gave us a reprieve. We were on the brink of something that was going to be a bit of a nightmare for us, but you pulled it back and gave us another chance to turn the hearts of the people in this church and the culture to you again. And so that changed our strategy suddenly in a pretty exciting way. We now, instead of feeling like we're going to be slugging through the mud for another 4 years, we feel a little like there's an open prairie ahead of us and we have the wind at our back. That does not mean it's not hard. You still have to drive through the open prairie with, you know, people shooting at you and putting arrows at you, but you still can be on a run and have momentum. And that's where we are right now. So I've been in meetings and conversations at conferences with people from all over the nation and all the different people who are advocates and in this battle for religious freedom. And what has happened is, as of last weekend, is that we have begun to formulate a coalition of people who are going to use this opportunity, take this opportunity the Lord's given us, for a full court blitz across the nation on religious freedom, advancing religious freedom and God's place in America on a number of fronts. We're absolutely going to push the ball forward on the policy front because we know the policy is a big driver even of public opinion and of attitudes. It's a place where we all understand the importance of policy and putting it in place in a strong way. This last season, a whole lot of people got their hands slammed. They got their heads handed to them. They're a little skittish, a little reticent. So it's going to take a little bit of convincing to in some corners that the day is now, the time is new. We need to try again in an orchestrated, strategic, united way. And that is exactly what's happening. I have several now gotten several important partners on board on multiple fronts. For example, I'm going to talk in terms of our legislative partners and what they're willing to do to push this forward, because, of course, they're the tip of the spear. They're the ones that actually have to bring forth the policy. But we also have a number of organizations who are forming a coalition of partners that are going to be working in tandem, working together for this full court press of advancing God's place in America. But here's the other thing, too, and the policy we must get in place. But what I believe will happen, too, two other things I believe will happen as we work together. And one is we need to take ownership and take charge of a new narrative in America. We need to make it good and positive and winsome again to be patriotic, to be people who speak out our faith. It's been open season hostility on Christians, and we can change that. We really can. I believe with God's wisdom on how we do that, we can take back some of that ground and make it a positive again in the hearts of young people, in the hearts of people, and give them a choice again, that the choice of faith is a good choice. It's a positive choice. The choice of morality is a good choice. Secondly, is that the other side, I talked about our side, we were sort of in shock and awe, but here's what we did on our side, so many of us. We said, oh my gosh, we can't believe it, and we looked up to heaven and we said, God, thank you, the source of this miracle, wow, and we praise him. The other side is saying, oh my gosh, shock and awe, our chins are on the floor, and they have no explanation. They have no place to go. They're just wondering what in the world, and they're looking to their own mechanisms and their own strategies and going, what did we do wrong? Let's correct it. They have no place to go because they don't realize that there is a God who actually oversees the affairs of men. And so they're scrambling, they're regrouping, they're trying to figure it out. We know that they were meeting in Washington, D.C. right now, Soros and Progressive Caucus and many of the, you know, Pelosi and the minions trying to regroup and go, what in the world? How do we do this? And you know what? They will come after us again. Every one of you knows that they lost this inning, but they absolutely are going to come full force. And our side is not good at staying in the game and taking advantage of winning innings. But we are going through this time. And what I want you guys to know is you're at the tip of the spear of this. God has given us an opportunity as a foundation to be at the tip of the spear of this movement. And so what I'm going to just do really quickly is give you a very bare bones, you know, phase one and phase two of this. You don't have to try to take notes on this. You're going to hear more about this. But I want to give you the concept, the big concept, and then I want to drill it down to where do we fit in as state directors. So the big concept, the big phase one of this over the next 6 weeks is that we are going to begin really identifying legislation and sort of create a menu or a list of good religious liberty legislation. Now, some states do not need that. They're not going to need this resource. They already know what they're going to put through. They've already worked on it with policy people, the family policy folks, or the straight with Kelly Shackelford or Snap Staver, whoever. But for those that don't, for those that feel like they need help, and there are a lot of them out there that say we want to put something forward, but we want to make sure it's something that's defendable by the Constitution, that's been vetted by some policy folks, we're going to put forth some stuff. We're working with David Barton at Wall Builders, who's working on it. We certainly have a list ourselves. We're working on it with Kelly Shackelford, Matt Staver, ADF, all the usual suspects are going to help us get this list together. We're going to work on titling these so that they are not the bathroom bill, which we may not be able to change that one because it's etched in stone. But how different would that sound to people if instead of being the bathroom bill, it was the Children's Protection and Privacy Act? That's really what this is. It's not a bathroom bill. It's about protecting our children or our teenagers. So anyway, work on titling, work on descriptions so that the descriptions are positive and clear and full of the kinds of words and phrases that we love, fairness, justice, privacy, all the things that we actually all want. We're not going to let them take control of this narrative. We're going to do it up front and give them sample text, anecdotes tied to these, key context for policy advice, and supporting testimony. And all of that, you can imagine, we need to be working together with some of these other organizations to create a very comprehensive but easily used sort of list for our legislators who maybe aren't sure what to put forth. Now, we're going to have to work quickly on that. We've already started, and we're working on it right now because we are turnaround time. We know a lot of these states have to put their bills in even in first week of December. So we know we have a short window, and we're working on it. We're going to create a winning message, a narrative related to each bill and resolution. So we're going to start thinking in terms of talking points. We're going to identify and get agreement from key legislators in every state and Congress to put forth religious liberty bills. What did these state legislators, do you think, say to me when I said, hey, it's a new day, the people have spoken, what are we going to do with this moment and this momentum? They're like, yeah, we want to do it, but the speaker, or we got our head handed to us, or we're reticent. How do we overcome this? And they got, every one of them said, if it was a movement, if we knew that 20 other states were going to be doing it too, if we could convince our speaker that we were not alone and we were not going to be standing alone on this and that people would show up and that there would be emails and that there would be people showing up these committee meetings, I know that we could get this done. It's just we cannot stand alone again in this. And that's where we all come in, and this coalition comes in, and we say to them, you will not stand alone. We will all join with you because we have an opportunity now that the Lord's given us to make a strong statement. So we've been already getting agreement from key legislators. I've talked about 8 or 9 of our prayer caucus members, chairs, states, and all of them have been very positive and said, we're in. we'll get in this game again, but we need to all be in this together. We're also going to identify key coalition partners who will engage on a variety of ways. We need everybody in. The Family Policy Council folks, I've already talked to Paul Weber, who's the head of the coalition. We know that every Family Policy Council is independent. I've talked to folks in Texas, Colorado, who else was there, the folks in West Virginia, and a couple others, North Dakota. They've all said, are you kidding? This is exactly what we want. We're so in. How do we make this happen? We're going to try to get a teleconference call with all the Family Policy Council folks because they're boots on the ground. They've been doing this, and they would love to know that there's a coalition that's going to get involved and that they can be a part of. We've already talked to David at Wall Builders, who has a big legislative network. He said he's all in. We've talked to United in Purpose. Many of you know the impact and the importance of United Purpose. They're actually going to host a meeting for us at CNP and make sure that we get all the key partners there. I'm calling key partners. We're talking AFA, FRC, Strategic Media 21. Many of you know how important they are as far as the social media aspect. We'll be talking to Jerry Johnson at NRB, Richard Bott, Salem Radio, Bott Radio. We're going to basically say to everybody, you have a part to play in this coalition, and we all have to get in the game. So we're going to have a key coalition partnership. And then we're also going to provide the regular communication between these coalitions, including, you know, some teleconference calls as needed, meetings, a closed Facebook community for document exchange. This is all phase one. This is all in the next 2 months we're going to be doing this, November, December, into the beginning of January. And it's doable. It is really doable because of what God has already put in place with these relationships and the people who are already, you know, they're already doing what they do. We just need to all do it together in a united way. Let me just go on to phase two, and then I'm going to come back to some very specifics that we can talk about. We're then also going to create a spreadsheet with the timelines and details of all the religious liberty bills in each state that are being dropped. So Colorado says to us, we think we could get maybe, it's going to be a challenge, but maybe we could get one bill put through. We're going to need every bit of help you can get, but this is when we're going to drop it, and this is what it's going to be. And then what we do is we create a little bit of a strategy around that Colorado bill, and we say, okay, then beginning 4 weeks or 3 weeks or 2 weeks earlier, we're going to start the messaging campaign around that, social and traditional. We're going to talk to the Christian radio. We're going to tell everybody ahead of time how great this bill is, and we're going to take over that narrative. We're going to control the narrative on that before they get a chance to control it. And then we're going to make sure that if they say, you know, the obstacle is the president of the Senate. I don't know if that's the case, but let's just say the big obstacle is getting that president of the Senate to change his heart. I should have started with this, the prayer movement, the prayer networks, prayer ministry, boom, we've got to get all those guys praying. I mean, they started praying for the election. We need to get all of our friends and all of our connections. Summer's already started that process. That's our number one most important first step, absolutely, is that everybody that we can is praying for this movement in what we're doing. So then we go to the Colorado and say, what is your obstacle? Oh, it's this. First of all, everybody's praying that the Lord would change that person's heart. And secondly, also, what do we need to do to convince that person? Is it emails sent to them? Do they need people showing up at their office? What is it that we need to do to show them that we are all for this and that the tide has turned and that this is a positive thing and not you're not going to be cutting your own throat when you do this? So there's going to be a strategy around every state that is doing it and a clear communication on how we can best get you over the hump. And the beauty of it is we don't have to do everything. We just simply need to inform the people that can get it done. So here in Virginia, Victoria Cobb and the Family Policy Council here, they do a fantastic job of mobilizing people. So I was talking to, you know, Roger Pokey, and I said, Roger, if we do this, whatever, do you think you guys would? He's like, are you kidding? Of course. We would love to see what we can do to mobilize the people to show up when you need them to show up. We're here in the Capitol. That's what we do. We don't have to do it. We just need to be connected to the people who can get it done. So we're going to put a spreadsheet together, timelines, when people are doing it, and try to try to really work with every state to mobilize the people. We're going to identify and train a media team. There's going to be a handful of people that are going to be the point persons. If somebody wants somebody to do a interview on the radio, Christian radio, we're going to say, great, contact us. If they contact us, we're going to say one of these three or four people are prepared one of them will be on your show, absolutely. And we'll make sure that we have some clarity as to the messaging and some unity on the messaging that is going out, and it'll be winsome and it'll be prepared. We already have some communication people on board who really understand how to word things in a positive light. And so they're actually working with us right now on the forefront to help us get some positive, united narrative together that will be excellent for, just going into the public square and turning the hearts of the person who just doesn't know, who's in between. We're not gonna change the minds of the people that are against us, and we don't care. You know, they can rail and they can rant and they can say what they want. What we're doing is trying to reach the people who are in the middle, that don't know and have been swayed by the negative narrative. And then the last thing, and so that's we're going to create and implement a plan, social and traditional media. I already said that. And then the last thing is, I've alluded to that, but we're going to mobilize the grassroots engagement around these bills, op-eds, open letters, direct phone calls to key leaders that we need to, email blasts, email targeting. United in Purpose obviously has an excellent call center that they will mobilize for us. Capital appearances at key legislative meetings and rallies. That's what I was talking about, grassroots and our family policy folks. And it's not just them. It's Eagle Forum. It's, there's lots of groups that are on the ground. CWA, Concerned Women for America, they were at the last meeting I was at, I think, in Denver. I went to Denver and met with the folks. And here's the last thing I want to say. So that's the plan, basically. And I want to just give you one more piece of it, of where the state directors fit, and then I want to open it up for conversation. And here's the exciting part. The exciting part is, as state directors, let me give you two scenarios. So I just leave North Dakota, and we have a meeting with everybody. I mean, there's one man who's the gal who's the head, organizes the National Day of Prayer, and the guy who organized the BGEA movement there for Franklin's visit there. There was a guy from the fellowship. Many of you know the fellowship in D.C. They're stealth, and they do all the governor's prayer breakfast, the national prayer breakfast. There was the family policy council there. I mean, basically, there were some key pastors there, church leaders, even a couple that were over church leagues. That's the wrong word. You know, like all these pastors that meet together formally, they formed that. So all these people are in this room, and we're talking to them, and the senator from North Dakota is saying, we all are doing wonderful things and it's very exciting, but we don't work together. We don't communicate. We don't work together. And everyone to a person said, we do need to find a way to communicate together, and we sort of need leadership in that. We need a point person, somebody that can sort of be the liaison for communication to get out to us of what needs to be done. They were so precious. Every one of them was wonderful. CWA was represented there as well, Concerned Women for America. Just precious, but realizing we don't have a way to actually unite together. And when we began to describe the Legislative Prayer Caucus and the role of the state director, they, to a person, said, that's perfect, because then that connects us with the legislators, connects us, and that gives us a unified communication device and person that can kind of help mobilize us around this movement. Many states don't have anybody like that that is unifying. But in Colorado, and I'm going to give you so you can see where the state director can become a very important component if there's a humility, a respect, a valuing, and honoring of the part that everybody plays. And we need everybody at the table, releasing them to do what they do and what God has already put them there to do. Capital Commission people on the inside are have a beautiful relationship with these legislators as well. We want them on board. But then let me give you another component as well, which is in Colorado. So I went to the Denver meeting, and Debbie Chavez, who is the Family Policy Council executive in Colorado, and she had already called a meeting for all of these key leaders. Again, the seminary, one of the seminary leaders, VPs, was there. I mean, she brought this coalition, and it was for the purpose of saying, how are we going to advance religious freedom in Colorado? How are we going to advance God's place in Colorado in this hostile environment? We're not going to quit. We're not going to, you know, step back. We're going to come together, strategize, pray, and move forward as one. How do we do this? So she had that meeting on Monday. Now, Deb was there, our state director, which was fantastic. If we find that in a state God has already brought a unified movement, we don't have to suddenly change what God is doing. We have to watch what is God doing already and join it. So in Colorado, best position may not be the point person to unite all those groups. It might be strategically that she simply works alongside Debbie, which she does beautifully, and then Beth just simply says, what's our part then in playing and making sure that we are servicing this coalition that's already been built, that's already moving forward? How do I work with them and make sure that this they understand what's happening nationwide and we serve them in any way we can to bring any pieces to it that they may not have? And Debbie Chavez was overjoyed with that. She wants to be connected to a nationwide thing. That just makes her position and her coalition all the stronger. So it's both. It might be we call on our state directors to be that point person because there is nobody else to bring them all together, or it may be that there's a coalition going and you just need to tap into it and be a support to them and make them aware of what's happening nationwide and the things that we're offering them to help strengthen what they're already doing as a coalition of organizations. So I'm going to stop there. I hope that gives you sort of a fullness, and I know I just dumped the entire kitchen sink on you, but I feel like the Lord has given us a moment and an opportunity to be the tip of a spear of a pretty big and exciting and God-sized movement in America. So I'm going to open up the floor for questions or comments.
This is Abby from Pennsylvania. I just want to say bravo, bravo, bravo. I just feel like you have the revelation that is needed of this hour. You have the strategic way of moving things together, and it empowers us and gives us things even as state leaders to speak to our legislators. I'm thinking I'd like to maybe have talking points from you for state directors to, you know, I feel like with this information, I could call together not only the ones that are in the Congressional Prayer Caucus, but ask more to come to this special meeting to learn what we could do in our state of the legislators, but also the church community that has been rallying. This now gives us something to rally together on, to work together. And so I just thank you. And I want to tell you that when we, we were in the Giant Center in Hershey with the vision to unite to restore America. And the day after the election, the next morning, when everyone was waking up to find out who won, I felt like the Lord spoke to me, now it's time to unite to restore America. Now we have the environment that we can actually unite the believers, because now's the hour of the believers to rise up. We have this window of opportunity, and now's the time. And I just really commend you for having this vision and pulling together the leaders to be able to do that.
Thank you, Abby. Thank you so much. And I want to just add one piece of it, because you're exactly right. I'm sure all of us are feeling like, great, how do we start this communication? How do I get the message out to my chairman? One thing I want you to know, we're calling together an emergency, I don't know if that's the right word for it, an important, critical teleconference call for our entire APCN network next Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
So we'll
Great.
See. But if the Lord has it, 1 p.m. Eastern time, we're going to call a teleconference call. We are going to lay this out for our entire APCN network, anybody that could get on that call. So one thing you could do immediately is try to get your legislators on that call so they can hear it firsthand. Congressman Forbes is planning on being on that call. We may get a couple other people on the call if we feel like it's important. Some of the other coalition leaders, we'll just see if we need to get some of them on the phone. But that will be a great opportunity. We're going to have a second teleconference call December the 13th at 1 p.m. We skipped the 2 weeks in December because there's a huge amount of travel as state legislators are going to two big conferences, ALEC and another one. And after talking to many of our legislators, they said those 2 weeks are really, really hard. And they said, honestly, the week after is not a bad week. We're all done with everything, and we can take a breather and talk about this. But the reason we feel like Tuesdays is so important is because many of our states are making decisions about bills that they need to put the first and second week of December. So we need to give them the impetus to, you know, take the courageous step and put forth that bill that they were undecided about putting forth. So if you could help us get as many of your, and it's going to be all of them. We'd love the Prayer Caucus chairs, the influential ones on there, but any legislator is going to be invited that's part of this network on those calls. And then, yes, talking points. As soon as we have something, Abby, we're going to try to get each one of you what you need to be most effective for communicating this to other coalition partners in your state, and we'll keep working on that. We'll probably give you a first draft of something that'll be really rough. It'll be a Word document with talking points, and then if you need us to, we'll just keep refining that so it gets better and better as the time goes on.
Great. Are you also sending the emails to all of our legislators and then we're just talking to them? Or do you want us to send emails to all of them?
We're going to send an email to all of them, and that email invite will go to all of you, too. It always is helpful if you forward to all of your people and say, did you see this? Make sure you're on it.
Okay, great.
Senator, I need to encourage you all about something. Senator Eberle in North Dakota was so cute and so honest. He said, for the first 3 or 4 months, you know, year ago, he said, I kept getting these emails from you. I couldn't figure it out. I deleted them all. I thought it was just junk mail. And then finally, one time, I opened one up and said, who are these people? And I read it, and I went, wait, what? What's going on? And then sweet Jessica, she called you out, Jessica. This sweet gal that was so nice from your office called me and invited me to this meeting, and I thought, I just need to go. I don't know who these people are. But it just feels like I need to go to this. So do not be discouraged if your legislators are deleting and thinking it's unimportant. Eventually, the Lord will speak to them, and they'll jump in if they're the right people to do it. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
When are you expecting to send that email out to us so that we can be prepared to be looking for it?
Jessica, do you have an answer for that?
For the teleconference, probably within the next hour or so, we'll be ready.
Perfect. Okay, fantastic. Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Anybody else?
Can we invite other prayer leaders to the teleconference?
I would rather you didn't. I would rather right now you keep it just the legislators, and here's the reason why. We're going to keep this a little stealth for the next 6 weeks. There's no reason to tip our hand to the general population at this moment in time, because really till after the first of the year, after Christmas, nobody needs to do anything as far as the public goes. The legislators are the ones that are most important. We almost didn't invite all the legislators. We really toyed with just inviting the Prayer Caucus chair and the people we knew would sort of keep this to themselves a little bit. But if we can, we would like to make this stealth. And I would prefer if all of you were very judicious about who you talk to about this as well. This is not for public consumption yet. This is meant to be, let's get this down the road, let's get a stealth coalition going, let's get our legislators on board. After the first of the year, people are going to be hearing about this soon enough, and we'll be coming out full force. Now, obviously, it's not private. We can't keep it secret. It's not that. That's why I'm using the word stealth instead of those other words, because I'm not trying to do a secret. But if we could just keep this to the legislators, because I'm going to be talking specifically to them, then we can do a teleconference call later, or we can get the word out to other folks in other ways after the first of the year.
This is Dave. Do we need to let you know which of the legislators are no longer part of our assemblies now, either because they've retired or they did not win re-election?
Yes, that's a great question, and that's a logistics thing for Summer and Jess, but the short answer is yes, absolutely. We count on you, state directors, to help us keep our roles and our database up to date. It's really important, and it's a lot of work for us if we have to do them all. But if you all can take responsibility for your states to get us the right information, we can do it quickly, make sure that we get the emails and the correspondence to the right people and other folks aren't getting emails that they no longer need. And if anybody new comes into the state prayer caucus, that's even more important to give us, is so that we can make sure that everybody gets communicated with. And here's the other thing, too, is that we count on you legislators, and this is another component I didn't really hit. Many of you have good relationships with your state legislative prayer caucus members. So one is getting them on this call if possible so they can hear it straight from us. But two, if they can't or whatever, if you have a relationship with them and you know what you're talking about to some degree, not everybody's involved with religious liberty legislation. Some of you are just pure prayer, and that's fantastic and great, and you don't talk legislation with your or policy with your leaders, and that's fine too. But if you do have that kind of relationship with your prayer caucus chairs, feel free to say to them, we need states to commit that they will put forth legislation. If you know your state is going to put forth legislation, we need that information right now, because I'm going into a meeting on Saturday with these coalitions, and I'm basically saying, 7-8 states have already committed. If I could go in and say 10, 12, 15 states are already committed, I'd love to do that. But we may not know that for another week or two, but if you know your state is going to put forth religious liberty legislation in any form or fashion, let us know immediately so we can add them to the list of states that are going to do it. And that may require a call to the family policy people in your state. It may be talking to the legislative director. It may be somebody else you know of that has the answer to that. Last call for questions before I turn it over to Summer.
Leah, did I understand correctly that you're going into a meeting this weekend and you need the list of legislation that is being proposed by states by when? Tomorrow?
No, I do not need the list of legislation being proposed by states by this weekend at all. What I would love to have is a yes or a no. That's all I need. I basically need to know, do you know if your state plans on putting forth religious liberty legislation this next session? If you already know, gosh, we've already been talking about it. I know Senator Lundberg in Colorado said to me, Leah, it's going to be a lift, it's going to be hard, but I have influence in the Senate, and we are committed in Colorado that we're going to be putting something forward. Now, it's just a commitment. Will he get it out of session? Will he get it out of committee? Will he be able to? None of us knows that. The answer is, do we have legislators that are saying we are a part of this and we will charge forward on this in whatever capacity we can? And if you know the answer to that is yes in your state, you've talked to a legislator that has said it's going to happen, I want a yes on that so I can add that state to our list.
Yes, from Texas.
Perfect. Thanks, Deb. And you can just shoot a text, an email. And then the last thing I'll do, and, of course, if any of you have questions on this, call Summer, call Jess, call me, email. We'll just keep staying in the dialogue of this. But the other thing I want to say, just in wrapping up as we talk communication with us, Jess is back. Woohoo! Jessica has been on maternity leave. She has a beautiful baby, Addison, that is a delight and a joy. We're thrilled to have her back. Wanted to just mention that. She's in full-ish swing, full-ish as any new mom can be. All you moms out there know what I'm talking about. But she's working from home, and we're just thrilled to have her. She's fully engaged with us. So if you have questions about IT, your state landing page, you need to send an email to your state networks, things like that, please contact her the way that you have in the past. She's back in the saddle, and if she can't do it, we've got backup for her. She's still the point person on that. Make sure you CC Summer on your communication with Jeff as well as it makes sense, so that she too can be in the know of what the state's requesting. But the two of them are your key point people for all the different communication and ways to get what you need done. And I know that they love you guys. If they give them a little bit of grace as they sort of re-engage. And I've put a big, giant load on our team. So thank you for all your grace for them, with them, as they try to administrate this big vision that God has given us. So really appreciate y'all, but thrilled to have Jess back in the saddle. We've missed her. And with that, Summer, I'm going to pass it over to you.
Excellent. Thank you, Leah. All very exciting stuff. I think we all just understand the responsibility ahead and thankful for such an amazing group of people that we get to do this with. So very exciting. I'm actually just going to take a few minutes. One, thank you, Dave, for the reminder that we do ask for that new member list as soon as y'all have it, so that we can make sure to clean up our records so we can also communicate with the new legislators, invite them to the summit, and of course just keep them in the loop of all the different things that are going on. Also, as it relates to social media and Facebook in particular, thank you for those that are using your state pages to communicate with your networks. If you're not using it and you plan on it, please do let us know, even by the end of the week if possible, because if not, we're just going to unpublish them for the time being. If at some point you decide that you want to start using your Facebook pages regularly, then please let us know and we will republish it. For now, if a state page is not being used, we're going to go ahead and unpublish it. Also, a reminder, this is the last meeting that we'll have for the year. So state director meeting will resume in January of 2017. Also, we talked about a strategy document. There will be, we may just go ahead and cut this call a little bit short since we just had a very thorough call not that long ago, kind of outlining all the different things that are going on in the states, and then use the remaining time for a strategy conversation. We'll kind of see how it goes, but just a reminder that we do ask that everyone turn in the strategy documents as soon as possible so that we can help plan for the next year. We want to be able to be ready. And we know things are going to change as things come up and so forth, but at least if we have some idea of what kind of support we're going to need to provide, that helps tremendously. So, again, we're hoping that those strategy documents can be turned in as soon as possible. Also, we do have, just a reminder, a couple of launch events underway. Texas, again, February 6th. Of course, anyone who wants to come, we invite you to come, but we do ask for prayer for these great events. Kansas, also, we're still working on nailing down the date for that event, but it's most likely going to be the first quarter of the year in 2017. So very exciting there. I'm going to go ahead and just ask, is there anyone that wants to share something that's new since the last call that you feel like everybody should be aware of? And if not, then we'll, again, open it up for any last-minute questions, close in prayer, and then we'll transition to a strategy conversation for those that are interested. So is there any states that would like to take this opportunity just to give an update on maybe something new that's going on? Actually, Marlene in Tennessee, do you want to share about kind of the new developments in your state?
Sure. The chair people have decided that they want to, coordinate a call to prayer on January the 11th, and that would be the second day of session. We are going to have Ricky Skaggs to come in. He's very governmental and obviously singer, but also really an intercessor too. We are inviting pastors' networks. We're going to invite, of course, all of the other prayer leaders in their networks as well. In fact, we're supposed to do a conference call this afternoon with a couple of chairs. But I personally am excited because it's kind of like it's finally taking off. I know Summer has thought probably it would not, but it is. I feel like we are getting some momentum finally, and so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Leah coming as well and sharing the vision with the legislators, because I think that will be helpful to have her. So anyway, I'm excited about it.
Very exciting. Just for the record, I had full confidence that there would be some advancement. You've been faithfully continuing to cover them in prayer, and Representative Pote has stayed encouraged, and Senator Bowling. So thank you for your commitment and dedication to pray for them and just continuing to bring this before them. Very exciting. We're here to support you however we can. Very good. Anybody else
Summer,
want to share
quarter.
Any? Yes, go ahead, Mike.
I'm sorry for joining a little late, but yes, we will. We have for the last numerous years committed to religious liberty bills, and will continue to do that going forward. There were at least five last year, but only one really got through about the marriage relieving the clerk. But they're going to go forward with that, and hopefully a religious conscience bill also this next year. And because we have now got a conservative supermajority in both houses, thank the Lord, we believe these will swim through fairly quickly, but we won't know the timing right away until closer to the time. So good news from Kentucky.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. And congratulations on your chairman, on one of your chairmen getting a promotion, if you will, taking a leadership position, and also
yes.
just continued growth and advancement in your state, and of course, just the supermajority now, and all kinds of positive things happening. And y'all have been joining forces with many prayer groups, fasting, praying, doing David's Tent. I mean, y'all have done a great job to make a tremendous impact there. So,
yeah, concerning David's Tent,
I don't really know
one prayer we did not get answered through that David's Tent event.
Oh,
it was just so exciting. We even called for rain to put out forest fires. It just came out of the blue because it was happening in our state, and we got rain the very next day. In fact, it was just one of those kind of events. It was just just powerful for us. Thank you.
The prayers of the righteous availeth much. Very good. Thank you, Mike. All right. Anybody else want to share anything? Again, I know we went through many activities. I know many of the states have a lot in play, a lot in process, a lot in discussion. I just wanted to see if there's anything new that anybody wanted to mention. Okay. Well, something that I would like to go on the record is, again, just a reiteration of what these prayer caucuses are. I know Leah explains it really well. We've talked about it before. But for the new state directors, and I know that Joel had to jump off. He actually works in a senator's office, so understandably so. And Chris is not able to be on. He works within the legislature as well, so not unheard of that he's not able to be on. But, again, just the Congressional Prayer Caucus has been an excellent model for these legislative prayer caucuses. As it relates to prayer, what I've done is, for me to help categorize and describe their impact, we've broken it down into four different categories: prayer, legislation, advocacy, and connection. So as it relates to prayer, I mean, they obviously pray every week that they're before they go into session. They're doing prayer walks in the Capitol. They've obviously started the Pray USA, government leaders calling the nation to prayer. I mean, they're really the ones that were behind that and spearheaded that and the inspiration for that. They join, teleconference calls. They've joined Washington, A Man of Prayer, where they're praying in the Capitol with other legislators. They're a part of a variety of different prayer opportunities in the Capitol or around the nation. And, again, they've They also spearhead a number of efforts. They're a part of something called Faith on the Hill, which is really kind of a mentoring of the staff and so forth on the Hill. You can just see how they're making a tremendous impact as it relates to prayer, and that's really just even scratching the surface. They're doing so much, Bible studies together, accountability groups, a number of things that specifically are from the prayer caucus of the prayer caucus members. As it relates to legislation, we're very aware of a number of the pieces of legislation that they've either sponsored, passed, including HRES 13, which was the resolution to help reaffirm our national motto, As in God We Trust, and promote the public display in public buildings. That was passed 396-9 in the House, and of course is the piece of legislation or the resolution that's behind our In God We Trust campaign. So again, you can just see the impact of them strategically thinking through legislation that would help promote our Judeo-Christian heritage and preserve religious freedom. And that's kind of beside the point going forward, because we're going to be helping a lot with that in the near future. But again, just kind of getting an idea of what they do. As it relates to advocacy, they write op-eds to help reaffirm the importance of the principles, Judeo-Christian principles specifically, that undergird our constitutional republic. They write open letters. They've done a number of things to help advocate for religious freedom in the public square, whether it be contacting the Department of Defense leadership, whatever it may be. Whenever there's a religious liberty issue that arises, they step in, whether behind the scenes or in the public's eye, to help advocate and stand for what is right and what is true as it relates to our First Amendment rights. We've seen, of course, when the Capitol Visitor Center was built, there was no reference. This is quite a story. I'm just giving a quick synopsis of what happened, but no reference to God. The members then took a bold stand and said, we need to remove E Pluribus Unum and make sure that In God We Trust is there. Also, we want the Pledge of Allegiance engraved in stone on the wall of the Capitol Visitor Center. And that is the case now. You walk in, In God We Trust, big as life, right there, and the Pledge of Allegiance is engraved in the wall. They on a number of fronts, are continuing to advocate, be frontline defenders of faith in our nation's capital. So again, just helping to paint the picture of how this is different than a prayer group. As it relates to connection, they are continually trying to actively connect with the network, whether it be through congressional telebriefings, whether it be through the summits. They do just a number of things to help communicate, again, the importance of the connection, communicating what's happening on the inside and helping to strategize with the masses as it relates to religious freedom. So, again, just a number of things and a number of ways that this is much different than a prayer group. So when these legislators have any confusion, we just want to, again, make sure that we use the prayer caucus, congressional prayer caucus, as a model for what this can look like. And there's so much more that even the states are doing, but just, again, wanted to make that clear. And we'll have more conversation after this call as to how to implement some of these things and several more ideas in the states. But that's really all I have. Is there any questions about that? Any questions for Leah, for Shirley, for our team, for other states?
Summer, I don't know if this is an appropriate time to answer my North Carolina question as we're going into prayer groups around the country. Do we have an update on McCrory? And if there's a better time
to communicate. Oh, I actually sent you... Yeah, I did. Thank you for asking. I did send you the latest article that Sharon sent this morning. It looks like they have. This is related to the governor's race. They still have not called the race because they're realizing that there could have been some type of fraud and so forth. So McCrory's still working to ensure that everything is done in a manner of integrity. So that definitely prayers are appreciated for that governor's race and for all the other things, including the North Carolina legislative prayer case that's coming out of not Forsyth County, but one of the other – it's an important case as it relates to legislative prayer. We want to continue to pray for that and a number of other issues in North Carolina. They're standing strong, and we're believing God will show himself strong on our behalf. Okay, anybody else? All All right. Leah, anything else that you want to say before we close out?
No, I think we're good, except for just God bless everybody and thank you, and just thrilled that I'm in it with y'all.
Yes, tremendous blessing.
Summer and Leah, this is Beth. Just before Leah goes, I was going to ask this during strategy time, but can we get some training from Strategic Media 21? Would they be willing to help with that so that we can use our social media vehicles better?
That's certainly an option. I'll put that question out to Mark Weimer and see if that's a possibility. But do know, too, that we certainly can give best practices. We have the ability to get some good video, some good training of 101, okay. You know, best practice, social media 101. We could get that to you. But the second thing is we actually intend to give, actually create memes and posts and things that you'll be able to repost okay. as well, so you won't have to create all that yourself. So both of those are I could say, yes to. As far as getting another organization to provide training, that would be a question I'm more than happy to ask.
Okay.
Great. All right. Well, we'll close in prayer. Shirley, are you still on? Would you mind closing us out in prayer today? I think she's still on. She might have been caught up in a...
I'm here. I was on mute. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, that's okay. If you don't mind. That's what we figured. If you don't mind just closing us in prayer, that'd be great.
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for the favor at the Prayer Caucus Foundation. Lord, so much excitement is going on. Father, we can see your hand in this every step of the way. And, Lord, as millions have been on their knees for a change in America, Lord, for another chance, you have granted us mercy. And now, Lord, I pray that we will engage, Lord, with a passion, with a renewed spirit like never before, recognizing this is not time to sit back. And, Lord, this is not time to shrink and to say, oh, all is well. God answered our prayer. But rather, Lord, that we are to move forward, that we are to be the tip of the spear in this country. Oh, that you would take an organization like this and use us in such a way. Lord, we are so honored. We are so humbled. And I just pray, Lord God, that this movement that is just taking place right now, that the seeds are being planted, Father, that would grow in such a way that it would just astound people everywhere. And Lord, that we would be used, and others would want to be on board, that others would want to join us and be a part of this excitement in taking this country back, Lord, to our roots, and Lord, for you. So thank you for every single person represented on this call. Thank you for every person that is involved with us, and thank you for every single person that is about to partner with us in this. We thank you for your favor, for your grace, and Lord, for your blessings. Be with each one of us in our homes and our families as we go through this, and give us the protection that only you can give. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Shirley. Thank you all. God bless you, each and every one. We will, after this call, for those that want to stay on, we will stay on and just continue with the strategy conversation. God bless you all. We'll look forward to connecting again soon.
Bless you. Love you.